Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. For today, I am your host, Michelle Berquist, on our Women Who Lead radio segment here, and I'm delighted that we've got a fabulous guest today. We are going to have an interesting conversation about building your business on what you know, and we have a lovely leading lady today. I am delighted to introduce all of our listeners to Sumitra Batra. She is the CEO of Ziba Beauty. And I got to tell you, Sumitra, that just rolls off the tongue. So I can't wait to hear about you and your beauty business and all you do. And please say hello to all of our listeners and welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate you having me over. Most people end up rhyming me, and it says Sumitra Batra, but it is Sumita Batra, and yes, you're right, it does rhyme, and it wasn't planned because Batra is my married name.
You worked that out strategically. I love it. It's a beautiful name,
Sumitra Batra.
What is your background? I mean, it's like, what is Sumitra and Batra?
I'm Southeast Asian Indian by heritage, but born in England, brought up in Iran. So I'm super confused. Living in
You're
America,
super confused.
So I'm about a, well, I'm super confused.
Don't be super confused. Sounds like you've got a lot going on. That's really great, because I want all of our listeners to know that, you know, you have built this amazing, I mean, I'm going to call it an empire. I hope you're okay with that. But I obviously was looking around. You have these beautiful facilities and locations. And I know you're in the beauty industry, but give us a little quick overview of what Ziba Beauty is all about. I know there's threading and there's brows and anything to help. Is it only women? So give us just a little once over of your offices and your beauty business.
Ziba Beauty is a chain of brow studios. It's a family-owned business that's been around. We're in our 30th year of business. We are fairly well recognized as the industry leader and the best in class, and we pretty much created a category within the beauty industry. Before we started, nobody knew what threading was. Threading did not exist in the Western world, I would say. So we pretty much created a global phenomenon, all done by a less than 5 foot woman that was brought up in a very small outskirt village in Iran that happened to be of Indian descent.
Wow.
So that's my mom. And so we've been around for 30 years, and we specialize in shaping eyebrows with an art form called the art of threading. I often joke with people that we make the world a less hairy place.
And you're confused. So I think those two things, that's the key to success, right? To be
a
business owner.
I'm
going to
give you all kinds of
confusion. I love it. But back up a
minute.
Yeah, exactly. I know, you know, one of the things, I'm dying to know, back up for a moment, because now your mom started this business. What was the inspiration in that? I mean, that's crazy.
My mom, my sister, and I have been in the business from day one. But she basically started the business because she lost her job. And she did have her, when the Khomeini regime took over, we moved from Iran to India. And we were there for 7 years. And my mom just could not settle into India. The race system, the inequality of women, just the quality of life just was not something she wanted for her children. But while she was there, she had done a beauty course, and she had opened up a small salon in her garage called it Ziba. And Ziba means beautiful in Persian. And so she shut shop. She moved here to California, and she got a job. And while she had that job, she converted her license into an aesthetics license here in the state of California. And so when she lost her job, we used to go to Little India to get our groceries, and there was a woman that kept encouraging her, saying, you know, there's no Indian salon here in Little India, why don't you open one? And so that's how we started.
Wow.
We opened up, you know, in the city of Artesia in California. We opened up in Little India to service the Indian woman. And little did we know that fast forward 30 years later, we would have been basically at the top of a global industry that we'd created that we didn't even realize we were doing. We were bringing an art form that was ancient, you know, to the modern world.
Well, and tell us a little bit about the ancient art form. I mean, this threading that you do, is that the only thing that your studios do, or do you provide other services like eyelashes or anything else as a part of the beauty side of things?
Believe it or not, about 70% of our business is threading. We're very niche. We specialize in eyebrows. We're eyebrows. We are the brow authority, and that's sort of what our go-to. Like that's what we do. We do also do hair removal with waxing. Every single one of our studios has a private aesthetics room, one or two of them, and licensed therapists that do the service. We are very, very globally recognized. I'm actually a published author in henna, in Mendi. A lot of celebrity work in that arena. And then we have our own cosmetic line called Ziba Cosmetics. That is the completion and the filling of the take home of the service of brow artistry at home. So.
Wowza. Okay, so I've got 20,000 questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
This is amazing. You guys have been, well, if you've been around for 30 years, oh my gosh, yes. Tamita, then you've got probably lots of lessons learned and things that, you know, maybe you would do differently if you had to do them over. But, you know, from the fact that you're running literally, I mean, this is how I would call it, but you tell me if it's not a family business, you and your mom and your sister, it's like, what have been some of the, let's say, interesting dynamics that you might share with our listeners who either one are involved in family-run businesses or two that they're thinking of? What advice would you give them of keys to success in dealing with family members and running a business? Because it adds some interesting dynamics, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. You know, I think that it's a family business. It's easy and it's difficult depending on your family dynamic. You know, I think for us, we are now five partners. It's my brother, my sister, myself, my mother, and my husband. And so I joke with people at any given time, and I am the middle child, and yet I'm the CEO of the company. So my older sister, my brother, my younger brother, and my husband, and my mom, I'm leading. And so there were some challenges along the way in terms of, you know, the transition from my mom to me leading was a very big challenge, because it's sort of like it was her baby, and yet she wanted me to grow it. But I would often joke with her saying, Mom, you need to take your brake. You need to take your foot off the brake so I can push the accelerator.
That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy.
And the biggest lesson I would say, or the thing that's made it work for us, we are very close. And we all know what we chose who the leader was going to be, and everyone follows. And my mom, even though she is more in an advisory capacity at this point, ends up being the person, at least for me, to go to that has mentored me. I've learned everything I know from her. And, you know, it's just, she's especially how to save, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think it's amazing that you've been around for 30 years, because honestly, you know, Samita, I've seen people that run family businesses and you think, oh my God, the dysfunction, you know, I mean, brothers and sisters against each other, or husbands and wives, right? Where, you know, life partners, but then in a business, it's like the dynamics change. So, you know, I'm curious, because this is a women, you know, we're about women being leaders. It's like, are there any pieces of advice you can share just on the gender dynamics? I mean, you and your husband, it's like, have there been any sort of things there that you could share of slices of advice, and being the CEO as a woman and having your husband in the business with you? Or, you know, has it been just, you know, I'm just saying, rainbows and unicorns? Because I know I worked with my husband for a lot of years, and it was tough.
It's tough. I mean, at one point, I told him, I feel like we're risking our marriage by working together. I think that one of the things that made us survive is that I have been a sort of like a natural leader. Leadership skills just came naturally to me. I think I was, to give you a short story, like I was probably 5 years old and I convinced my then 7-year-old sister to carry my 3-year-old brother across a very long and large field to go visit our grandfather. Okay. This is, we used to live in Iran in the outskirts. And I told her that he lived over the fence that we could see in the horizon. And after a very long bruising walk, we came back home very hungry and in big trouble with my mom. We never got to see my grandpa because we were in Iran and he lived in India. So they are still by my side, helping me chase my dreams, supporting my determination and my mad quest to build a brand. And I think that that's sort of, I think one, the clarity of knowing who is leading and who is following is very important, because otherwise there is a tug of war and everybody's going in a different direction. You know,
right?
And I think that that's part of the thing that makes us really, really unique and successful, is that whether it be my husband or my brother or my sister or even my mom, you know, I think we're very clear. We have very clear, distinguished roles, who is supposed to be doing what. My sister is education. My husband is operations. My brother is mostly HR and legal and is sort of dabbing in operations right now because HR touches ops, and my mom is finance, and then I am vision and product development and growth and marketing. And so we have very clear defined roles, and very clear, nobody is trying to go for the leadership role. Everybody knows who's leading, you know. And I think that's really
amazing.
Important.
I mean, that's such great advice for, I mean, I can't tell you the number of family-run businesses, women-led, that they just are so challenged with some of the family dynamics. I mean, these are great pieces of advice. You know, the other part too, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, you probably are, but it's like, you know, I've been in business almost 30 years myself. I had a family business with my husband, and it was tough because I will share one thing. I always had my husband who I would say, hey, can you help me get this done? I would never say, go get this done, right? As long as I asked for help, it was great. But if I said, do this as the president and CEO, he did not like that, which was a really interesting dynamic in our relationship. But we learned to kind of do some workarounds there. So,
look, when we disagree, I win. And that's not a nice thing to – it's just because of my position. It's not I win or like I get my way, because let's say he wants to go right and I believe the company should go left. Now, we will talk about it, and I always approach everybody in my life from a perspective of convince me. I'm willing to listen to you for you to change my mind. But if you don't change my mind, then we're going – the way I'm setting it, because that's my job. I'm leading it to what I feel is the right place. And so what happens in that scenario is that, you know, you do bring that home. And that is the risk that you're taking. And so I try really hard to try to keep as much distance between my role and my husband's, you know, and try to not... if I want something done, I like to ask the others, because for me the marriage.
Do you
is
have
really
any?
Important.
Of course, Sumita, and those are wonderful words of advice. Would you have any other suggestions for some of our listeners who maybe? How do you make the distinction between, you know, I have a friend of mine who has a business with her father, and so one of the things they've agreed to is that they make sure when it's business, they're at the office, right? When they leave the office and they're, you know, doing family things, they just keep it that it's family, not business. Is there any advice you would have on how to keep that distinction, you know, to support the family dynamics, right, when you're in business together?
You know, I would say to you that this almost feels like one of those questions I get asked really often, which is, you're a mom, you're a CEO, you're a sister, you're a wife, how do you do it all? And my answer to that is, I don't, you know, and yes, we've tried this don't bring it home business. I mean, we live, eat and breathe. When it's your own business, it's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a week. Yeah. I mean, it's just with you. You sleep with it, you wake up with it. what we do is that, you know, when we are in disagreement, we just agree to disagree. And it's very clear that if we've hashed this out and you wanted to turn left and I wanted to turn right, you need to give me the respect of being the position that I have, that after listening to your perspective and giving it consideration, if I still decide to turn right, that you're going to support me and turn right with me. Otherwise, we can't work together, you know?
Can I say how often how matter of fact that is, you know, and I wasn't, by the way, I wasn't trying to set you up or anything on that question. You're right. How do you balance everything? Because there is no balance, right? Especially when you run a business. So absolutely agree on that. And I, you know, for you, I mean, you just, you're so pragmatic about it. And I think our listeners kind of hear that and go, man, I might be able to learn from that, right? It's not about emotion. It's about getting the job done, but doing it with respect and compassion, which sounds like you all do. I do have some other questions because we got limited time and I have thousands of questions. Yeah. As you have built business, there are so many of us as business owners that would say, you know, business literally has changed in light speed over the last 5 years, and the next 5 years in the future, it's going to be even crazier as far as change. What, as a company that has brick and mortar facilities where you actually have studios and a location, it's like, has business changed a lot for you in the last 5 years dramatically? Or, you know, we've got social media and everything's virtual now. Has that made any impact to you and your business? Or what have been the kind of biggest changes that you've seen recently? And we'll talk about the future in a few minutes.
You know, there's a lot of change happening. You know, I mean, they're saying there's a quarter of the U.S. malls are predicted to close by 2022, according to Credit Suisse.
How much?
You know,
20%?
25%. Okay.
Yeah.
And I am a mall-based business. Okay. And so it's about making the right decisions, knowing, researching, talking, and using your common sense. You know, it's not just following the herd, you know, and not really thinking about what it is that, you know, retail is going to change, the landscape is going to change, but do not underestimate these big developers that have these amazing properties, you know, that have put millions, billions into these assets that belong to retirement. They're thinking, they're rethinking, they're adding grocery stores, they're adding colleges, they're adding workout centers, they're adding universities. I mean, I just went to Century City Mall for a tour last week, and UCLA has an extension division at Century City Mall. So, I mean, things are changing, you know, and they're combining homes you know, live-work environments with shopping. So, you know, I'm one of those people that is constantly out there researching, talking, meeting different people, going to conferences and seminars that have nothing to do with my industry, technology conferences and things that are, you know, are going to keep me outside of a box. You know, because as soon as you come home, you know, your even your home is a box. Your office is a box, you know. And it's really easy to kind of miss what's going on around us. And so, yes, business is impacted. And I always try to sort of, you know, break the silos and, you know, really kind of keep the future in mind and research and have the hindsight to make sure that I'm protecting the business, you know?
I love it. Well, no, I do see that all of us in different industries have trends, but that's the first time I've heard about these kind of live and work retail centers, right? I mean, I know that a lot of what I've seen with different retail malls and things like that is they're converting them to bring people to them more for entertainment, eating, nice dining, you know, obviously bringing them the movie theaters, which have been there, but up-leveling them as well. So I love the idea
What's different engagement. 78% of the consumers out there, they like to shop and they start online, then they develop into physical stores. Because if you see, like, for instance, I'll give you an example of Morphe. Okay, it started out as a brush company that launched some palettes, and they did them really inexpensive in the beauty industry. They started as an online retailer. And then now it's one of the fastest growing physical retail shops, brick and mortar shops, because the consumer, even though they may find you online, they want to go to your physical store, touch it, feel it, experience it.
Right.
And then maybe the repeat orders, you know, like for instance, what will happen at a Whole Foods is there will be, you know, or the grocery store is, people are going to shop for their toilet paper and paper towel online because that's it's convenience-based. But when they want to experience different foods and they want to experience different brands and they want to really see what's new and out there, they want to touch and feel it, there's only so much we can stay at home. And I understand Netflix is happening and I understand online is happening, but physical presence is not going to go away. It's actually going to become very specialized and it's going to become very intelligent and it's going to become very experiential. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I love that word experiential because, you know, and I want all of our listeners to check out your website, and I want to make sure our listeners know where to find you, which is ZibaBeauty.com. And that's
Z-I-B-A.
ZibaBeauty.com. Correct. Z is in zebra, I, B is in boy, A. And we'll have a link to it on our show page just because your facilities are, they look incredible. And I'm kind of curious with you, what are the things that you all do in your studios to kind of create that experience and that, you know, ambiance that, you know, women come in? Is it only women primarily that do eyebrows?
No,
with you, or
not
men
at all.
Part of the trend
not
as well.
We love
men
our
too.
Men.
I know you
actually,
do.
Men are even, they're more loyal than women. They tip better. I'm being very broad. But men come to us, they are very loyal, patient. They don't complain as much as women do, and they tip really well. We love our men.
Interesting. Well, we'll go gender polarization all day long. I love it. Well, you know your customers then. I love it.
We are 30 days away from the launch of a new website. And what we try to do is we're always trying to, for instance, the reason we're changing, our website's really beautiful, but we're changing it because when we built it about 4 years ago, mobile was not as, it was coming up, but it was not like people are, now we realize that believe it or not, 70% of our customers go to our site from their phones. 70%.
I believe
it. So if you have a website that is not mobile friendly, if you have a website that doesn't have a shopping cart that you can just have one click and buy and have the convenience of being able to send, if you don't have a website that allows the customer, if you're a service-based business, to make an appointment, convenience. That experience, that user experience is really, really important. And so then that translates to when they actually get to your store, you want to make sure that the environment is beautiful. We've done research on colors and how they make you feel and the music and the sound and then the touch and feel and the experience of the artistry and making sure that it's consistent across the board and that, you know, you're getting superior artistry. We have our own academy and we make sure every single one of our artists goes through extensive education and an educational program. We don't call it a training. You train dogs. You educate people. So we have educated artists that are serving you, and that's one of the reasons that we've been able to survive through the recession, grow, and create a beautiful environment that feels soothing, that feels modern, and that also still feels authentic. You know, we're doing authentic Eastern beauty, and we're bringing it to the modern world, and we pay attention to the details, and we also keep it very sanitary. Everything's really white and clean, and there's an emphasis in making sure that the experience is above par. You know, it's really nothing like anything else you experience in our category anywhere else. I mean, we've been copied left, right, and center, but rather badly. But, you know, because it's very expensive to do what we're doing.
Well, and we've only got a few minutes left, but I'm curious. I'm curious to know about, like, the marketing, you know, what you're reaching the consumer. I mean, most retail businesses, I know, you know, direct mail, good and bad with that. You know, walk-in traffic, good and bad, especially if mall traffic is off. What have you done to adapt to reach the, you know, your end client, whether it's men or women? Have you changed a lot of your marketing strategies, or can you share some of that with our listeners?
What we're seeing in our industry is that the customer wants to the convenience, so we're adding online appointments to our website.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing that, you know, it's really difficult and very expensive, to be very honest. You know, SEO is important, digital marketing is important, social media is important, influencer marketing is huge. So it's sort of we're dabbing and trying a little bit of everything, and then when we see that one of our endeavors is success, you know, we're too big, we're too small to be really big, and we're too big to even, too small to still be even medium yet, but too big to be small. And so we test and we try different things and we see what works for us, what our customers respond to, and then that's where we end up putting our money and our endeavors. But word of mouth
right.
marketing has always been our success calling card. And, you know, that starts with giving good service, you know, and then you get reviews and reviews help you and that helps grow your business.
What has been maybe one of the biggest challenges, you know, that you and your family members have overcome together in, you know, continuing to grow and build and thrive and flourish? I mean, is there just something that has been a huge impact to you? Was it the recession in 2008 and beyond, or was there,
no.
can you share and how you guys overcame
we've had a couple of big challenges. One is always and will always be because we're in the people serving the people business. So it's always people,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding the right people, keeping the right people, making sure they're happy, they're taken care of, they're not unsatisfied. And we've learned those lessons the hard way. I mean, I didn't even really know what human resources was until 2011, and we had been in business since 1987. You know, I think we learned the hard way. We had a class action lawsuit, a wage and hour class action lawsuit. You know, it taught us some lessons. We prevailed in the end,
yeah.
but it took us 6 years to fight it and a lot of money. But I think the strength of the brand shows and the conviction of the family and us sticking together, the right people will make you and the wrong people will break you. And you just have to be very careful who you bring into the inner fold and make sure you take care of the people that are with you and appreciate them and show kindness. You know, people just want to be heard and seen and not be taken for granted. Yeah, I think it's just really important.
No, those are wise words. And, you know, first of all, thank you for sharing. You know, I mean, I know it's like all of us, it's like Sumita and running a business, we have what I lovingly call war wounds, right? But it hasn't beat me down. It's like I'm going to stand back up. It's like I'll do things differently. And you get up and you try it again the next day. And I loved what you said about marketing, which is to test something, try it. You know, if it works and you can do it, then amp it up, right? Make it even more effective.
Yes.
But I know from social media, it's like there's just so much focus on that. I was curious with your business, if social media has been a real benefit to you, has it been a struggle for you? Because everybody now talks about social media being the end all be all. What's your opinion of social media to the impact of your business?
Well, it can be the end all if you don't know what you're doing, you know, and it can become your be all. If you really learn it, you know, I think for anyone that's entering into this market with YouTube, with articles, with conferences, with classes, there's a ton of information available to us out there. We just have to take the time to learn it. But if we just do something because someone else is doing it, it may work for them. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you, you know. I am constantly, you know, going out there. Even if you're going to hire an agency to do all of this for you, you have to know what you're looking at. I mean, my accountant can do a P&L for me. I need to learn how to read one. Otherwise, that P&L is useless to me. So it's the same thing. You know, I think knowing how to manage your agencies, knowing, you know, truly taking the time to ask some questions from your customers and paying some attention to the details, be surprised at how much information is out there to help you kind of grow your business. You know, it's difficult and easy.
And thank you. Thank you for that. We only got 1 minute left. I'm going to ask you a power question, man, and you can roll with it any way you want to. So no pressure. Ready? Mm-hmm. As a final thought, is there anything you want to share with our listeners of just, you know, to inspire them, or a slice of advice or anything about what you think of, you know, business and women and entrepreneurs and being more successful? I mean, this is kind of like your drop the mic chance, if I can say that. Any final thoughts?
I say that if everyone in this world asks themselves three questions, the world would be a different place. And those three questions are, who am I, why am I, and what is my purpose?
That was a drop the mic. I can't thank you enough, my dear. Sunita, you're amazing. I hope I get the chance to actually meet you in person one of these days. You've got an incredible empire, something, as you know.
You'll make your brows
so beautiful. it's right, be less hairy. We got that one. And you are just delightful. I want to tap all of our listeners, if you are in any of the areas that the amazing Ziba Beauty offices and studios are at, I hope you'll check them out. We've got a link to their site on our radio show page. Again, Sunita, thank you for being our leading lady. To our attendees and our listeners, we love that you chime in every week on Women Lead Radio. We're here on Fridays at 2 and Mondays at 9 a.m. I challenge all of us, because, you know, we're all about women leading and women being better in business. It's like, you know, take a moment, be supportive of another woman. It's like, that's how we'll all get ahead in advance. So have a great weekend. We'll see you on the next Women Lead Radio show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.